worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having an awesome Wednesday today. It's the middle of the week. A lot of interesting stuff going on today. Got some pretty interesting articles today. And Dad had an interesting day getting his license renewed. So I'm going to let him tell you guys how all that went and what basically our state and our entire government is turning into as far as regulations and fees and permits and restrictions and simply just tyrannically out of control, so to speak. So I'll let you start off with it, Dad.
I don't know if everyone wants to hear this or not. As you guys know, my birthday was November the 8th. Now, something that I didn't know about, my little 10-year license was done, and I had to go in and renew it, and I wasn't allowed to renew it online. I had to do it in person. I basically forgot all about it. And so I was driving around because I had to be today. I had to get my my other taxes I had to pay for my vehicle. And so I found out that my vehicle was basically, no tags. And so I thought, okay, well, I'll go get my vehicle renewed real quick. So I said, I got to make sure I got my driver's license with me for my ID. I pulled my driver's license. It expired November the 8th. So I have no license. So call the tag registration people. They will not give me my tags for my vehicle without having a current driver's license, which I thought was interesting. So I said, okay, no problem. So I went ahead and grabbed my driver's license, and I took off to the tag agency. Now, unbeknownst to me and unbeknownst to the person answering the telephone, there are other things you have to have now when you're renewing a driver's license. Remember, guys, I'm 61 years old. I am old school. I've been around here for a long, long time. I got my license 46 years ago, my license. Okay, I've never had my license revoked. I've never had a DUI. I've never had my license suspended. Well, I got close one time back with a 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. I was real close to having it suspended for 30 days. But it never happened. And so here's the thing about all of this. I'm thinking I could walk in like I've done all of my life, and I can just go ahead and I can get a new driver's license with my concealed weapons permit and my driver's license, because these are two state IDs. I'm going to the state to get my driver's license. Well, oh, silly me. The federal government now, because of what Abraham Lincoln has done, may he not rest in peace, okay, has basically completely, because of the Patriot Act, the National Defense Authorization Act, the NSA, and all these other spy agencies, they've taken over the regulation of IDs and driver's licenses from a national standpoint. So here's what I told when I came in. They said, you have to either have your birth certificate, a valid U.S. passport, a certificate of naturalization. By the way, here we go. A consular proof of birth abroad. So this is for all our little Mexican buddies who showed up in the van about 10 minutes after I got there. Alien registration and green card. That's just the first thing on the list. You have to have those, now, or one of those. So as I'm sitting there in line and she's telling me this, I said to her, I have my concealed weapons permit. I have my old driver's license. It's been expired. It doesn't matter. You have to have a new federal ID. It'll have a gold star in the top, and you will not be able allowed to go into federal buildings unless you can produce this ID. And I said, is this okay with you? And she goes, oh, well, yeah, this is okay with me. I said, why is this okay with you? And she goes, well, because of 9/11. I said, 9/11. I said, this is okay with you because of 9/11. If this is okay because of 9/11, if you believe Osama bin Laden was involved with the trade towers, then he's already won. He's put our country into a tyrannical lockdown, and I feel like I'm in Nazi Germany having to produce my papers. And she's looking at me kind of funny. She goes, well, I'm not done yet. There's more. I said, what do you mean there's more? You have to have more? She goes, oh, yeah. She goes, you have to bring your Social Security card number two. You also have to bring a W-2 form or a paycheck showing a number, or any 1099 form. So I have to have an identification, bring one, and then I have to have a Social Security number. She goes, yeah. I said, well, okay. Is that it? She goes, oh, no, not at all. You have to have a residential address, not a P.O. box. You have to bring two. You have to bring a deed or a mortgage or a payment booklet or a rental agreement. You have to have Florida vehicle registration or title or a utility bill or a hookup or work order, or you have a statement from a person you live with along with two addresses, documents of that person's name. And I'm like, are you joking me? She goes, well, no, I'm not joking. This is what you have to have. I said, get my license renewed? I said, any part of this okay with anybody in here? And about that time, another bandload of Mexicans showed up, and 16 more Mexicans climbed out of the vans. None of them spoke English. All of them were clutching a big piece of paper, a big handful of paper. So I guess they brought all their paperwork with them, whether it was accurate or fraudulent. Who knows? Who cares? It doesn't matter. This is what we have. This way they can make sure they get their registration, get their driver's license, they get their voting IDs, they can all start voting in our elections. So I was so aggravated, I didn't even stay there to get my tag renewed, because that was another hour wait, because I was standing behind, by this time, I think it was 47 Mexicans. And guys, I'm not joking. I'm just really, really irritated right now. And I just got home. This was an all-day event for me, all day. I left this morning, just got home a little while ago, and now this is my all-day event, doing all of this. So finally, I had enough of that, because they told me they didn't know how long I was going to have to wait, because they just had another busload of Mexicans show up. And I'm like, okay, all right, I got to go. So I went down to another place 20 minutes away in Winter Haven that does just only, no driver's license, only tag renewals. I walked right in, and I loved it. There was just Americans there. There were some African Americans. There were some white Americans. There were no Hispanics. I got in line. They gave me everything I needed. I took care of renewing my vehicles, and I thought, wow, how wonderful is this? In fact, the girl at the counter was even a Florida State supporter. In fact, she'd been to the Florida State Clemson game when I was up there a few weeks ago, when she saw the refs basically give it to Clemson. And I thought to myself, wow, what a difference. You go to an organization like this that doesn't deal with all of this stuff and all of this bureaucracy that the federal government's imposing, and you walk in and you basically can just get in and get your stuff done and walk out. Guys, none of this is okay with me. None of it. Okay? Why do I have to have a federal ID to walk into a federal building with their little gold stamp in the corner of it? This is complete intrusion on states' rights. They have no right to do this, but by fiat in executive order. This is the same kind of crap they're going to pull on you when they show up at your front door and ask to see your immunization records.
Yep.
And you're going to say, well, I don't have immunization records. Well, you need to come with me, please, if you don't have your immunization records handy, because we need to put you into quarantine, or we're going to go ahead and inoculate you right now, here on the spot. Bend over, we're going to shove this in your hip, and my response is no, you're not going to take me anywhere, and no, I'm not going to have you inject me. If you want to quarantine me because I haven't had your measles vaccine, and you know, and whatever, because I had the measles, I'm okay with that, just leave me here at my house, but no, I'm not going anywhere. Guys, this is where it's going. We've got to pray that Donald Trump puts a stop to this crap. That's all this is just crap. That's what this is. That they can do this to us and treat us like we're some kind of refuse, and that we're not American citizens, and that we don't have the right to drive unless we have to forcibly be proved. We have to prove all of this. Oh, and this is, and then it just gets better. So then I said, so I bring my passport, blah, blah, blah. So I had to wait 45 minutes to get my tag. So I told him, I said, well, can you do this? Can you just issue me another little card saying that I'm in line? It's 20 minutes for my wife to get home and get my stuff that I need, 20 minutes to come back. And by that time, when she does all of this, I can go ahead and get my driver's license and get my tags renewed at the same time. Oh, no, can't do that. We got too many busloads coming in today. Can't do that. We can't put you in front of somebody else unless you provide all proper documentation. But what we will do is we will give you a temporary driver's license, a sheet of paper that we will sign. And the girl who signed the paper was Hispanic, which that was the icing on the cake. Couldn't even speak English. That was the icing on the cake that I had to have the person who couldn't speak English, that I could not understand, sign that I could get a temporary driver's license in the United States. That was where I was today. So now I got my tags renewed from the other place. I still have no driver's license except for the temporary certificate issued by the Hispanic who couldn't speak English. And so now I'm doing the show fussing about it because you guys are going, amen, Brother Ted, amen, we had the same garbage happen to us when we renewed our license. Guys, there's nothing okay. And I looked at the lady as I was leaving. I said, this is not Nazi Germany. I am not walking on the cobblestone streets of Berlin. This is not okay. None of this is okay. But guys, let me tell you something. Obama said, I'm going to fundamentally transform the United States of America. Did we think he was kidding when he opened those southern borders? Blithering idiot George W., when he signed the Patriot Act, the 1,500 pages of legislation that had been written in advance of 9/11, which was modeled after the Enabling Act from Adolf Hitler from 1933 and the burning of the Reichstag. And we have now this tyranny that's enveloped the United States government that has pushed into the states to take away the states' rights. No, none of this is okay with me, Austin. And I'm going to stand for the rest of my life saying, this is not my country. I didn't sign for this. And I am not going to be quiet and go silently into the night. That's my opening statement, son.
Oh, man. Interesting day for you.
Man, I just tell you what. I still don't have a license.
Still don't have a license.
The girl's last name was Molina. Oh, yeah, it was her. She didn't even write English properly. I mean, unbelievable.
Well, what's crazy about it, too, is Breitbart just did an article that they just released today. They interviewed the police chief in Los Angeles and the police chief in New Orleans, which these cities are notorious for being what are referred to as sanctuary cities. They have policies that protect illegal immigrants from deportation. I did not know this until this article came out on Breitbart today. And so they talked to him, and New Orleans Police Department said, we have absolutely no plans to change our policy or our policing as far as helping federal immigration officials detain non-citizens. They told Breitbart that the policies have been approved by a federal judge overseeing the decree in the Department of Justice under New Orleans Police Department sanctuary city policies. Get this, you're going to love this. New Orleans Police Department officers are barred from looking into the immigration status of anyone they come in contact with, including victims of crimes or criminals or suspects related to the same, even if the New Orleans Police Department officer learns that an individual is in the country illegally. They are not allowed to share that information unless they are under a court order. The city's sanctuary policies forbid the New Orleans Police Department from aiding ICE in any way with operations such as raids. They recently changed their course to cooperate partially with them in the event that they had some type of murder case. That is it. So this is interesting, Dad. We see now that we have sanctuary cities all throughout the U.S. where the local law enforcement is not allowed to even look into the immigration status of anybody, even if they're a criminal and they're involved in some type of criminal activity, they can't even bring it up. And these are the things, just a few of the key points that Trump was talking about when he talked about closing the immigration loophole and not allowing this to escalate any further. And it has nothing to do with me being against legal immigration. My grandfather, Dad's mother, came from Germany after World War II, legally, I might add. And people that want to do that, they want to get the right documentation, they want to get paperwork, they want to do all the stuff that we have to do, like Dad just saw, just to get his driver's license renewed. Just to get a driver's license renewed, which, by the way, is not a privilege. It is a right to operate freely and lawfully and unmolested on my way to any area I choose. The government and the federal government and the states that tell you driving is a privilege, not a right, is a complete and total lie. They've told everybody this for the last 100 years to force everybody into believing the lie, and now we do. Driving is a right. You own your vehicle. Supposedly, you own your vehicle. You drive your vehicle. You put gas in your vehicle. You pay insurance on your vehicle. Yet they tell you if you have too many traffic citations, if you don't renew your driver's license. Like right now, if Dad didn't get his paper signed from the person that was there, he could get pulled over, go to jail, and have his vehicle impounded for driving without a license. That is what we're talking about, guys, is full-blown tyranny in this country. It doesn't get any clearer than that, that you could go to jail for having a driver's license that's expired by a week. The same thing goes with insurance. The same thing goes with red light tickets, and it goes down the list. So these are a lot of the things that we have to address now, guys, and understand that it has nothing to do with preventing terrorism. The whole thing that she told Dad, oh, it's about 9/11. That is complete and total horse poo. If you think anybody that wants to be involved in some type of terrorist activity is going to be halted by having to do this to get a driver's license, you are living in the unicorn fairy world that the liberals live in. If we want to stop extreme Islam terrorism and any type of other terrorism, how about we stop bringing in hundreds of thousands of illegal refugees and displacing them in states that don't want them? How about that's just a start right there? So when they always want to bring up the it's for your safety, always understand, guys, that's a ruse to get you to shut up and comply with what they're demanding of you, or they just don't allow you to do it anymore with fines, permits, or jail times. That's the level of tyranny that we've enveloped now in this country, Dad.
Unbelievable. No, I don't even know what to say. You're absolutely right. This is so ridiculous to me that this is actually going on in the United States, and I have to deal with it this morning like this. I mean, it's almost, if it wasn't such a horrible situation for us to have found ourselves in, it would almost be funny. Now, of course, some of you are probably laughing the way I told it this morning, and that, I'm trying to make a little bit of humor out of it, but it wasn't funny. And, you know, I'm sitting there thinking to myself, now I got to be careful, because if I'm not careful, they're going to push the buzzer under the bottom of the doggone desk here, and they're going to come haul me away. They're going to come taser me and drag me out back because I didn't comply quickly enough for them. I mean, unbelievable. That's why whenever I go into these state buildings, I always make sure I leave my weapon in the car. I never take anything into these buildings, courthouses, anywhere. I don't do any of that. Courthouse is illegal to do it, but a driver's license, I didn't see any signs. It doesn't make a difference. I left everything in the car. I thought, nope, not going to do this, not going to give them any reason to give me a hassle about anything. This is just an absolute joke that I'm having to go back tomorrow morning at 8:30, bring my passport and all this other documentation that I have to have. I need to bring a binder and dump it on the doggone desk and have like 500 forms of ID. Say, okay, now which ones would you like? Unbelievable. I'm still hot as a get about that. Oh, by the way, I told you guys that Hillary was drunk as a skunk when she lost that election. I told you she was incapable of speaking. That's why she didn't address her group. I told you guys that she had to basically get sobered up. It took about 8-10 hours to sober her up, get her levodopa medication lined back up, get her on enough stimulus to get her to stand in a perpendicular fashion with her braces on her legs so she could address her crowd of people, you know, 10-12 hours later. Report, Hillary became physically violent after she realized she had lost the election. Hillary Clinton reportedly became physically violent towards her own campaign staff after she realized that she had lost the presidential election. By the way, this was all show. She'd already been told she wasn't going to win, according to radio host Todd Kincannon. CNN reporter tells me Hillary became physically violent towards Robbie Moot and John Podesta. Now, Podesta, I can see her getting violent at him because he's the one who likes to drink blood. Around midnight, heavy, briefly restrained, tweeted Kinnaman. It was Podesta who was sent out to talk to Hillary's dejected supporters. Dejected. Okay. Shortly before Hillary called Donald Trump to concede, with Clinton nowhere to be seen until the following day, after she sobered up, when asked about rumors that she was drunk on election night, Kinnaman responded, "Yes, she was. I broke it first on our show. I posted about that too. She was in a psychotic, drunken rage," quote, according to my reporter friend. Doctor added sedatives, there you go, to the mix. Kincannon then claimed that CNN blocked the reporter from publishing what would have been a bombshell story. Secret Service officials and other staff who worked closely alongside Hillary had previously reported her problems with angry temper tantrums, pitching fits, throwing things on numerous occasions. Last year, it was also reported that Clinton's own campaign staffers feared she could have had a serious meltdown and that Hillary had been having screaming childlike tantrums. This is what happens when you're demon-possessed from hell, woman! Childlike tantrums that have left staff members in tears and unable to work. In addition to claims that she became irate, author Ken Ed Klein said a source told him Hillary cried inconsolably to a friend after the results came in, blaming FBI Director Comey and President Barack Obama for not doing enough to stop the FBI investigation into her email scandal. This woman is psychotic. She's completely and totally psychotic. And she was one step away from becoming commander-in-chief of the greatest military presence this world has ever seen, including space-based weapons. We have dodged a bullet from H.E. Doublesticks, where she is from. This lady is Looney Tunes, and she is psychotic, and she's a whack bag. And I thank God Almighty again that he fully exposed her and old blood-drinking Podesta. Gosh almighty, we almost have a fourth-degree Sabbatean witch sitting in the White House who has done everything she possibly could have to destroy every right we ever had left after this king of vomit, old gay Kenyan boy up in Washington, decided he's going to take away all of our rights. And George W. was just as bad. Clinton, as her husband, was just as bad. All the way back to George H. was just as bad. All the way back to the running of the Reagan White House. We have not had a decent president in this country who is willing to do what he's setting to do since John F. Kennedy, and they killed him. The one before him was Andrew Jackson, and they basically tried to kill him twice. Guys, this is a mess, and I hope and I pray to God Almighty that Donald Trump does what he says he's going to do and will unleash this tyranny, get rid of this, unloose these shackles of this that they put around our necks, our throats, our arms, and our wrists. Guys, if we don't stop this, if we don't stand now and hold Trump's feet to the fire and Congress's feet to the fire, we're going to slide down the same slippery slope again in 4 years, especially if the wicked witch of Benghazi runs again. But I don't think she will. I think she's going to flee the country. And I pray to God I never have to see her or Bill Clinton on another stage and never have to listen to that screech owl do another speech. You guys don't know how difficult it was for me to listen to her when she was doing that debate with Trump. I was jumping up and down, running around the room. Finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I had to put my hand in front of the TV set when she spoke and had to put her on mute. All I wanted to hear were Donald Trump's responses. Why? Because I knew all she was doing was her stupid MK Ultra mind control on every single person who was listening there who believed the lie. There you go, Austin. That's how I feel about Hillary Clinton. That's taking the gloves off on her today. What's your
You were straight up called it. I said the same thing about why she wouldn't come address her entire group of people that were there to support her for the campaign that night. I mean, didn't show up, didn't even make an appearance. And she was obviously so hammered, and not to mention, there's no telling what type of drug cocktail she's on a regular basis, and now mixing that with alcohol. You know that makes an unbelievably psychotic combination when you start mixing Prozac and, you know, benzodiazepines like Xanax, Adderall, along with alcohol. Who else knows what else she's on? Because the same thing we said before, that first time she did the debate, she was so dialed in, and I'm not complimenting her at all. She was obviously on some type of heavy cocktail. She was so dialed in from what we had seen weeks before, all the way from face planning at the 9/11 day, all the way to falling back, having Secret Service have to carry her upstairs, that to sitting back on steps every time she was trying to make a speech, to being perfectly dialed in, like nothing was wrong with her at all at that first debate. There's no telling what type of drug she was on, and she obviously mixed that in with a great deal of liquor that night, and she was probably an absolute nightmare that night. So it's probably good for her, at least her fans, that she didn't come out and address anybody, because they probably would have seen what a complete and total lunatic she is, which I kind of wish she would have done that and shown the world what an absolute monster she is, especially if she was in some massive rage. But nobody would probably let her out on stage because of how incoherent she was. So that's pretty interesting. Also, too, with Obamacare now, you guys remember Obamacare opened up on November 1st, 2 weeks ago, and we're starting to see the entire system collapse now. Millions and millions of people that basically were enrolled in it are immediately being dropped. According to reports now, premiums are spiking through the roof all across the country. In a lot of cases now, double-digit changes, as we've talked about before, but they're even worse than what was predicted. Obama administration recently announced that the average hike rate will end up being about 25%, though the figure is turning out more like 50%. The result is that many health insurers are having to pull out many of the worst affected markets, which means enrollees now have much worse coverage at very, very high cost. Eric Jans, an insurance broker from Nashville, told CBS News this week that most of his clients were covered by Blue Cross Blue Shield until they just recently decided to pull out of the Nashville market. Rates have become so high that the insurer apparently had no choice but to flee, which means Jan and his family and everybody else that they work with on Blue Cross Blue Shield no longer have health insurance. Here's the beauty of all this. So they had health insurance. Now they got dropped because Obamacare is literally imploding. So now they have to pay a fine if they don't get insurance. The problem is now, he even said that most of his 300 clients who had insurance are now dropped, are devastated because of how expensive everything. He said, as of January 1st, unless we find something else that's reasonable, he said they're looking at a $750 a month monthly premium right now to roughly $1,100 a month starting in January, including the deductibles more than doubling in some of the issue and some of the contracts that they have. This is turning into a nightmare. So now, if you don't get insurance, they're going to fine you exponentially. It's going to explode in 2017, but now you can't even get insurance that you had because they're dropping you because all the insurance are fleeing the market because Obamacare is imploding. This whole thing, Dad, was designed from the very beginning to completely destabilize the insurance economy for the consumers and bring in piles of money for the insurance companies and bring in piles of money to the federal government in illegal taxation, again, that we already see through fining people for being healthy and not having health insurance. This goes right back to the exact reason why we left the Crown was taxation without representation. I don't remember ever voting on this, Dad. Do you? I never got a chance to vote on whether or not I was going to pay thousands of dollars a year in fines for not having health insurance, and I still don't get health insurance. That's the great bamboozle of it all, is I get charged thousands of dollars of fines for not having health insurance, and I still don't get health insurance, and if I try to go to Obamacare, they drop me because they don't even want to have health insurance because they can't afford it. This whole thing is a giant catastrophe, and like you said earlier, if it wasn't real and it wasn't so serious, it would actually be a joke. It'd be something I would watch on the Looney Tunes network back in the 90s of some type of just cartoon that was a complete and total spoof on something. I can't even believe this is real right now with the insurance, but we told you guys years ago what was going to happen, and almost everybody I talked to agreed with me that this was not a good idea, but I don't think anybody thought that it was going to implode this fast, Dad. This has gotten out of hand so quickly, it's insane.
Well, it's one of the things that basically Hillary was a blithering idiot on supporting on the doggone, because you got millions and millions of people being fined now and millions of people whose health insurance have gone up double, triple, quadruple at this point. And she's saying, oh, yeah, we're going to keep it. It's great, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not great. It was intentionally designed to fail. It was written by the insurance companies. They're going to bring in a single-payer system, which is what they're going to do. That's where it's all going, this complete socialistic, communistic type of program. And then we're going to have rationing of health care like we do in Canada and, you know, the countries that have implemented this. The sad part about all of this is the fact that we're all caught in the middle paying these ridiculous fines. Because I told you guys, 5 years ago, I canceled my health insurance. It had raised up to $2,000 a month with a $10,000 deductible. I hadn't used it in years. I finally started doing the numbers on it. I said, that's $24,000 a year. I said, you know, the last 10 years, I spent $250,000 on health insurance. Health insurance? 10 years. And they got nothing for it. Never had a claim, you know, with $10,000. And every once in a while, I'd get an MRI or something. Nothing was covered because I had a $10,000 bill. I'm still paying out of pocket for that stuff, right? And I'm thinking to myself, this is stupid. I said, plus on top of everything else, I don't believe in chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery. Don't believe in any of that stuff. I know better. I know how to deal with cancer from a natural nutritional standpoint. I know how to do that personally for myself. I said, on top of that, I've got workman's comp at the office. I'm on payroll there. If I get hurt, I'm covered by workman's comp. And I've got PIP, personal injury protection, and I've got health insurance and, you know, coverage all over my vehicles. Since I have like triple insurance, I'm like, this is stupid. I'm getting rid of it. And so now it's been 5 years. So I've saved, what, $125,000? Are you kidding me? That's like taking a new Mercedes S-Class and driving it off the end of the dock. I mean, are you kidding me? That's what I would have done. Just absolutely, in German, it's called weggeschmissenes or weggeworfenes Geld. And that what that means is that you've thrown away money. They're doing the same thing in Germany. Remember, back in the 40s and the 50s, they came out their little treaties that were going to go into these third world countries and basically exploit them for their natural resources. And what they'll do in return, they'll bring them a bunch of food to let them reproduce, to massively explode the population of the third world countries. Then what they're going to do 50, 60, 70 years when this population is completely exploded and the West and Europe has gone to a negative population growth, they're going to bring these third world people into the United States and into Europe in order to implode the economies, to bring in a one world dictatorship underneath Lucifer. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing it right in front of us. The problem is we put a big shoe in front of the door and said, you know, I don't think we want to go that way just yet. I tell you what, we're going to bring in a Donald Trump. But guys, this little snowflake generation, these little pansy boys and girls that we're raising that are having to play with Play-Doh in the colleges now, that have to have their little pets to pet because Trump won the election. I got a news flash. When they graduate with their stupid degree in art, major, science, or whatever they're graduating in, they ain't getting a job. And they're going to find out what the reality is. And they said, what are you going to adopt a millennial now because this is what they need to maintain? They got to drink their kombucha every morning and have their Play-Doh and their pets. This is a real world. This is what happens when you give everybody a trophy and everybody gets a participation award and you don't have anybody in first place anymore. This is what happens. You get a whole generation of snowflakes that are a bunch of candy boys. They have to have lace on their panties. They've been loaded up with soy and estrogen and they can't even, they're so scared. Are you kidding me? These are the next generation of folks that are going to be protecting our country. California wants to secede from the United States. They're going to go ahead and bear arms against the government now because of Trump, is what a lot of them are saying. With what? The little boys they've got going out there with the little white shoes and the little funny haircuts and the white rimmed glasses? Are you kidding me? This is not my America. This is not it. This is not it at all. This is not. I walked into the permit place today to pour some concrete over here in Auburndale, and I said, I've got my man who's pouring my concrete. He's a real good friend of mine. He's a black guy over here in Winter Haven. They looked at me. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I can't say he's a black guy. And they looked at me. They go, well, what do you mean? I said, well, you know, it's not politically correct. And they said, well, you have to go to sensitivity training. That's what he said. Sensitivity training. That's what he said. Sensitivity training. And I said, oh, that's what I should have said. He's an African American. They said, oh, that's right. I can't say he's an African American either, can I? Because he wasn't from Africa. He's been a boy from America. He's an American boy. I said, oh, that's right. I can't say he's a boy either because that's derogatory. I said, he's a good friend of mine, though. He pours concrete. He always does all my concrete work. He's a great guy. I said, how about this? How about my concrete guy says I don't need a permit to pour this? Is that okay with you guys? They go, oh, no. You have a permit. I'm like, of course I do. I do. Then I said, but I'm not doing it. And I said, looked at him, I started laughing. I said, and by the way, I am not going to sensitivity training. This is not okay. This is nonsense. This whole thing is not okay. You guys don't know what America used to be like. Now, don't get me wrong. We had some problems back in the 60s with some of the folks who were unbelievably racist. I got that, okay? That is not me. Now, I'm kind of a bigot. I will admit that because I'm intolerant of a lot of people's views. If a person wants to sacrifice a child to Lucifer or have an abortion or whatever, I'm diametrically opposed to that. So if that makes me a bigot because I'm opposed to their views or whatever, okay, I'm okay with that. But I'm not going to be called a racist because I'm not. I don't believe that anybody's genetically superior to anybody else because we're all created in God's image. But here's what I do believe. There are people out there that got some really weird ideas of what's okay, and I don't agree with that. Now, if that makes me a bigot, okay, I'm bigoted towards that. If you want to be a 50-year-old guy and you're some kind of pervert, you want to go use the bathroom with my little girl, I'm not okay with that. If that makes me a bigot and a homophobe or a transgender phobe or whatever they want to call it next, okay, I'm good with that. I don't care. A 50-year-old man's not used the bathroom with my daughter. I remember years ago, Harris Austin, Zanna was over that culturally correct, absolutely awful school that we used to send her to in Winter Haven. And I basically, she was in the bathroom one time and they had this lesbian person who was working for them, who was a person who was doing, they were doing maintenance on the property. And she was wearing men's work boots, this lesbian was. And my little daughter was like 5, 6 years old, and she sees these men's work boots walk in underneath the stall door and then go in the next stall next to her, and she started screaming and pitching a fit until they sent security into the bathroom. This happened with my daughter, Savannah. And I came, they called me up. They said, well, we need to tell you what happened today with Savannah. I said, what happened with Savannah? Now there's always a story with Savannah. They said, well, she saw this woman wearing men's work boots walking into the bathroom. She thought it was a guy. She just unglued herself in the bathroom. And I said, what was she supposed to do? Think that was okay? Well, this is a woman. I said, well, then she needs to start dressing like a woman. She doesn't need to be wearing men's work boots. It's okay. I mean, she needs to make an announcement. She walks in the door. I'm a woman and I'm wearing men's work boots and I'm walking in right now so you guys don't freak out. I said, are you kidding me? This is not okay with me either. Guys, let her give her her own bathroom to use if she's going to scare the kids like that. Guys, this is the problem that we have. We don't need to do that. If they're transvestite, I could care less. They don't show up my radar. I think they're weirdos. Who cares? I don't want them in the bathroom with my kids. There's these group bathrooms now. You can go into these family bathrooms. You can open the door up and you can lock the door and you're the only person in the bathroom. They're like for changing diapers, et cetera, et cetera. Why don't they just put up a big sign on that? This is a transgender weirdo family bathroom. That's what we have here. The weirdos go here. Everybody else use the men's and women's toilets. That would be okay with me. But they don't want to do that. They have to have their own separate stall. But I tell you what, anything is better than having these men in a bathroom with my little girl. That's how I feel about that, Austin.
No, absolutely. Back to your saying with California wanting to secede, I don't understand what they're planning on doing because they've begged themselves to get disarmed. They can't even buy ammunition without getting permission from the government with a permit now. They can't own 50 cals. They can't own any magazines over 10 rounds. They're not allowed to own machine guns. I don't even think they can own Class 3 suppressors either. So I don't know what revolution they're planning on starting to succeed with a bunch of revolvers and bolt action. Granted, they may get into Nevada about the first 500 meters into Nevada, but Nevada is a wide open state with firearms. So I don't know what they're planning on doing over there. That's kind of funny considering the fact they can't even pay for their own taxes right now without federal subsidies, even though they have a state income tax. It's like 12.5%. That's kind of funny to me. They're ranting about that now. But quite frankly, if they want to do that, then they need to go do that. I will laugh as soon as China invades them the first month that they're their own country when they can't defend themselves at all. That will be an interesting sight. So,
well, yeah, so when China comes in, they'll give them all Play-Doh, Austin. Yeah, you guys go over here. Go have fun with the Play-Doh. We're good. We're good. We're just good. You have Play-Doh. We're good. Here's another article right here. This is another one of these crazy ones. 14-year-old girl is given a Gardasil shot against her consent and her parents' consent, and it ruins the life. This is from the Vax film crews, continues interviewing people who are vaccine damaged around the country. In this interview in Nebraska, a 14-year-old girl named Savannah Schneider is interviewed along with her mother, Sarah. Savannah talks about her experiences in receiving her 7th grade required vaccines. Her mother, Sarah, explains that she only gave permission for Savannah to receive the required vaccines. However, they also injected her with Gardasil, the HPV vaccine. Sarah explains that she had been warned about this vaccine and wanted to investigate it further, but she was giving it to her anyway against consent, without their original knowledge. She immediately started suffering side effects such as headaches, fainting, skin rashes. She soon developed pneumonia and other infections. As time went on, things got worse. She started experiencing seizures, grand mal seizures, hospitalized many times for severe pain. Her mother tearfully explains that Savannah would wake up in the middle of the night in a state like she was dying. Like many other parents of children with Gardasil poisoning and injuries, Sarah relates how little support they had and that most people just thought it was all in Savannah's head. But after a trip to the Mayo Clinic, Savannah was diagnosed with postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, a known side effect of Gardasil that affects the heart. Savannah explains that before the Gardasil shot, she was happy, active, and athletic. She was in the process of joining a gym. Now she has difficulty speaking and walking and needs a feeding tube. Guys, if anything I just read to you is okay, this is medical tyranny on steroids. This is what they want to do to you, to me, to our family, to our children, with that damnable legislation that Obama passed on this executive order on November the 4th, giving the CDC the right to forcibly vaccinate you. Guys, there's nothing okay about any of this. To detain you, forcibly or put you into quarantine. There's nothing okay about any of this. And guys, I hope and I pray to God that Donald Trump will go in and get rid of that legislation and all those other executive orders the first day in office. I hope he has it all pre-prepared on executive orders, stationary or whatever they use, and has them all signed the day he takes office and gets rid of all of this junk. Guys, this is globalism. This is what they want to do to all of us. They don't want you reproducing. They want you to be a slave race. They don't want you knowing the truth. They want you licking their boots. That's what they want. None of it's okay. They don't even want you driving cars. Now they want you basically having a little Google car, your little DARPA car, not to be able to drive on the highway anymore. That they don't want, you know why? This is why they don't want you to do that. They don't want you to have mobility. Austin called it earlier with what's going on with the driver's licenses. That's a right. They say it's not. They're saying it's a privilege. It's not. It's a right. They don't want you having the right to drive yourself around and have freedom of motion and movement in the United States of America.
Yep.
They don't want that. They want you to have to listen to them, do what they say, not go anywhere because you can't get a self-driving car because you don't have the proper permits for that, or the self-driving car won't go into that area. That's what this whole thing's about. And guys, the Chinese are about it. Rothschilds are about it. Soros is about it. They've done, taken, extracted the wealth out of the United States, and now they want to turn us into this one world dictatorship and basically put us under the boot of the Red Chinese and the Nazis groups and the doggone Soros groups and the Rothschild groups. Guys, I'm not okay with that. Remember that movie, Chicken Run? I talked about it a few months ago with Mel Gibson. And this chicken kept wondering where all his friends kept going. They'd go into this factory and they'd never see him again because they were being turned into a pie. Finally, he says, hey, I'm going to go check this out. So he sneaks into the factory, sees his friends going in one end of the conveyor belt and popping out as a pie at the next end of the conveyor belt. He said, I don't want to be a pie. Guys, I don't want to be a pie. I don't want any of this to be on my children or my grandchildren. Guys, we've got to stand against this. They showed who they were with the Podesta emails. They're a bunch of blood-drinking whackbags who sacrifice children and sell their body parts for their parties or whatever they have with them. Guys, none of this stuff is okay with me, and I thank God Almighty that he exposed this Podesta soul-cooking nonsense on eBay, from WikiLeaks the week before the election. Guys, I personally believe that was what they used to force the Diebold election machines to give us the right totals, Austin. That's how I believe. What do you think, son?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And back to the driver's license, too, you guys have to understand, we didn't even have to get driver's license at the beginning of the 1900s. 1899, Chicago and New York both decided that you'd actually have to pass a driving test before you were allowed to drive a motor vehicle. Obviously, with vehicles being on the road and being more city area, a lot of states didn't start doing that until the teens. The issue that it originally came about was all you had to do was pass a motor vehicle test to basically make sure you were competent enough to drive a vehicle. There was no age limit. There was no permitting. You didn't even have to have any type of actual license. You simply had to go in and prove you could drive. And again, it got the foot in the door. So many things happened around 1913, so many things, including the Federal Reserve, which is an absolute nightmare for this country. But everything started to happen around that exact same time, where they started mandating it with the states that you had to get a permit to operate a motor vehicle on the streets. And it was like, you know, 50 cents to take your driver's test, and then you had your little certificate plaque you got. Until now, it's gotten to where it's $40, $50, $60. I mean, guys, I got my registration in the other day for renewal registration on my truck. And, you know, I have a Sierra 2500 GMC, and the registration now in the state of Florida just to get a new decal for that tag is $140 to have registration. $140 just to get a little decal on the back so that I don't go to jail when I get pulled over for invalid expired registration. That doesn't include the taxes that we already pay on fuel, the massive taxes we already pay on fuel, the sales tax, the income tax, the state taxes, all the other taxes you pay, and everybody goes, well, this goes to this and this goes to that. Guys, listen, where does it stop? We literally have a tax on every single thing we do or touch. When does it become enough? When do we start coming in and saying, we don't want to do this anymore? This is why they're pushing so hard for a cashless society, because then they'll be able to tax you at will. They'll be able to say, there's a tax that you didn't pay. We're deducting it from your bank account now. Oh, this is another tax you didn't pay. We're going to go ahead and just siphon that out of your bank account. Don't worry. It'll come out. It's only 5 cents here, 10 cents here. That's the overall goal. To the point that they can tax everybody into such submission, we literally have no funds to do anything. That's why it's so important, guys, to always keep some cash on you. I've told you guys about this before. This just happened now in Australia this week. Citibank, the Citibank that's based out of South Dakota in the United States, Global Citibank now, has now come out now, and they, in Australia, all of their Australian branches will no longer be offering services involving cash or coin. They said it as consumers embrace digital banking and the role of cash dwindles, the U.S. bank said its 6 Australian retail branches will remove all cash handling services because of falling demand from customers who instead manage their money digitally. They said economic benefits would include reduction in crime. Ah, there you go. It's for your safety again. It's for your safety. Higher tax revenue from fewer cash transactions. Ah, there you go. Higher tax revenues and lower rates of welfare fraud. Whatever. Welfare fraud. Who stopped giving free money to everybody that asked for it? That's how you put welfare fraud. They said while Citi is believed the first bank in Australia to remove cash from its banks, other lenders. vendors are already thinking about doing the same. Guys, this comes on the heels of India last week. Nobody saw this in the mainstream media. Nobody even knew this happened. They did this on election day. The Indian government, India, the country of India, the giant country of India, took unprecedented action last week and has eliminated the 500 and 1,000 rupee paper notes from its financial system overnight. The prime minister defended his position and said, under the guise of cracking down on corruption and black money, there you go again, guys, it's for your protection. It's always for your protection. It's for your protection. That's why we're doing it. And the surprise, banking closures started for days afterward. The old bills immediately lost their status as legal tender, and authorities ordered citizens to exchange them for new ones within 50 days. Guys, the 500 rupee note is only worth around $7.36, which making the Indian government move the equivalent of the U.S. government banning tens and $20 bills. So the 500 and 1,000 rupee notes were the largest denominations in the country are illegal now. They do not, they're not worth anything. They are not worth toilet paper. You have to exchange them over the next 50 days for smaller currency. The banned currency accounts for nearly 80% of the total outstanding notes in circulation. This is one of the stupidest things India could ever do. But guys, remember, it's all about your protection. For your protection. That's why they do it. Though the sudden sweeping action was sold as a response to crimes like tax evasion, the reaction has seen a serious problem among Indian banks. The amount of paper money customers have been pulling from their accounts now has jumped 15%, making it increasingly more difficult for the central bank and government to maintain control over the financial markets. There you go, guys. There comes down again. Control. They can't control the people as much when you have paper currency. You can do uncontrolled, unmonitored transactions. I want to go buy a Glock 19 from my best friend down the street. What do? I take $400 in bills and I buy it out of his house. Completely legal to do. But the government can't tax it and they can't control it and they have no idea it ever happened. They do not want these situations occurring anymore. They have to stop it. India just got rid of their two biggest notes and Australia Citibank branches just stop handling all paper currency altogether. Guys, this is what their goal is. If they can completely eliminate all cash, they will be able to monitor, tax, control, and manipulate every single form of the financial market. Every single financial transaction you will do, they will have control over it. This is the overall goal. The only way to prevent this is to keep cash and mass demand and in circulation. This is why I don't care if it's $20. Every time you deposit your check, get cash back. If it's $10, $20, $50, it does not matter. Always request cash. Every time you request cash from the bank, it goes down in the books as a cash withdrawal from the bank. When you do this, it shows a demand that cash is still being used as currency. Australia has gone so far digital, they're claiming that only 4 to 8% of the transactions use cash anymore in Australia, so Citibank saw no demand for it anymore, so they pulled all of their cash transactions out. This cannot happen in the United States, guys. If we allow the government to come in and say, $50 and $100 bills now will no longer be legal tender overnight. Trade them in for 20s and 10s. Do you know how difficult it's going to be to go buy a used vehicle down the street for $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000 in 10s and $5 bills? Do you know how much cash you're going to have to try and accrue and put together? Not to mention what the bank's going to ask you when you ask them for $10,000 and $5 bills. That's what this is all about, guys. They want to deter any type of transactions with cash. So I beg you guys, please keep cash going. Try and pay in cash as much as you can, just in general. I like to pay in cash all the time simply because it's not monitored. Do I do anything illegal? Absolutely not. I don't care. I don't want anybody knowing what I do because you know what? It's my business. It's not the government's business to know what I bought on a credit card. They can be good for certain transactions as far as with points and cash back. I understand that. And they're very good if you have an issue where some type of fraud has happened and you need to get the transaction basically back charged. But for small purchases, use cash, guys. It's a lot easier. It's a lot safer, in my opinion, because it's not monitored, and it constantly keeps cash transactions recorded coming out of the bank so they know there's still a huge demand for cash.
Oh, by the way, one more thing, too. Because the Clintons decided to get rid of Glass-Steagall, which allowed the banks to go 40-1 with the cash. In other words, if they have $1,000, they can loan $40,000 out on that $1,000. Before it was 10-1, they had to go 40-1, but that wasn't good enough. Then they take that $40,000, they get derivatives for that, and they take that at another 1,000-1. So then they have it with the $10,000 that you start in the bank, or the $1,000 you have in the bank. There could be $500,000 out of that $10,000. That means if everybody tried to cash in their $500,000, there'd only be $10,000 or $1,000 left in the bank for the cash. That's why they have to get rid of cash, because they've got themselves caught basically with their shorts down with this doggone derivative mess, with these quadrillions of dollars now, 1,800 trillion now, as far as in derivatives in U.S. denominated currency, with only what I forgot it was before 9/11, there was $800 billion in circulation in U.S. currency. That's the correct number, by the way. And that's before the banking crisis, not 9/11. That was in 2007, 2008, before they really increased the M1 money supply. There was only about $800 billion. There wasn't even $1 trillion in circulation. Period. I mean, it was $800 billion. And what the craziest thing about this is that they massively had to increase that, because that's where the liquidity crisis came in. But if they can go in and just put more dots and dashes on the computers, they can continue to just do whatever they want to do and hyperinflate everything and control everything. That's why the Bible says that in the latter days that we will be in a cashless society, and we will have to receive the mark of the beast if we want to trade or basically do commerce. And it says if we accept the mark of the beast, then that means we're basically cannot be saved, and we're reprobate, we're basically end up going to hell. Guys, we can't allow that to happen. We've got to stand against it, exactly like Austin said. But they're doing this, the Rothschild giant blood-sucking vampire squid that's wrapped its slimy tentacles around the planet is trying to extract all the wealth out and do it through Babylonian-based money systems, which are basically unconstitutional and satanic is what they are. It's absolutely horrific what they've done and how we've allowed them to do that to us. That's why keep gold, keep silver, keep cash. Very, very important. And guys, listen to me, please, for a second. The next few months right now in the equity markets is going to get really, really weird. If Trump really starts pushing his agenda and tries to do what he says he's going to do, if he's a bad boy, doesn't do what they tell him to do, all they've got to do is contract the M1 money supply, and the stock market's going to completely start collapsing. So do what you think you need to do with all of that. But remember, if you've got a good profit right now and you can lock it in, I'd take the profits and run personally. I got out of equities back in 2007, 2008 after that big disaster hit us back then. Big oil, by the way, the feds are calling the West Texas deposit the largest in history. This is from Breitbart. A Western Texas oil and natural gas shale formation was labeled as the largest of its kind by the U.S. Geological Survey on Tuesday. Federal surveyors announced that the Wolf Camp Shale in the Midland Basin portion of Texas Permian Basin now holds the record for the most oil, natural gas, and gas liquid deposits that are undiscovered, technically recoverable resources. Now, guys, let me explain something to you about this. This is really important that you get this from me. This oil and natural gas, this is not from dinosaur bones and dinosaur leaves back with the leaves and all this rotting vegetation. That's a lie. When water is forced through crevices in the planet at a certain speed, it starts to transmute, becomes like a crude base of crude oil. Now, I covered this one night on the Hagman Show. It also puts out an electrical charge, and actually becomes oil. The planet itself produces the oil. It's not fossilized dinosaurs or trash under the ground. That's just a lie. That's a joke. Okay, that's why they keep telling us we're going to run out of this stuff. We don't run out of it. The Earth keeps reproducing it. So it's not one of those issues. And our coal is enough for like 1,000 years with what we have already found. And we can turn that into diesel and into gasoline. And we have clean coal technology for our power plants that basically have zero pollution. But Obama wants to shut all that stuff down because he wants to bring in the filthy pollution like the nuclear pollution and all of the problems associated with it. And solar, look at that mess with Solyndra. This guy's done so many things that he should have been impeached over. It's unbelievable. All right, we're out of time. I got to say thank you to guys. We have a we're selling our, is the Ultimate Multiple still on sale today, Austin, or is it over?
No, it ended last night, but the one that everybody voted on is the chelation therapy. A big fan of, I know you like that product a lot.
I love that product because you got to do it. But guys, thank you for supporting us. Thank you for buying your multiple vitamins from us. I don't even know what to do besides say thank you and that we love you guys. And I hope you don't get upset because I was ranting and raving the whole show today. I don't normally do that, but guys, sometimes things just get under my craw and I don't like it. And hopefully by doing that, it allows me the ability to fuss for you a little bit and let you guys know that I'm on your side and we're all listening together. So thanks for supporting Health Masters. I love you guys. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for just the incredibly kind emails that you send me all the time. And thank you for being my friends. I really do. I mean, I feel like I got my little fireside chat with you guys every single day. And so it's just a blessing to all of us. Continue to support us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all the things that we're sending out now. And thank you guys for liking us and being part of our team and just being part of the family. God bless you guys. We'll let you close, Austin. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, we appreciate everything, guys. And like I said, the product that runs the chelation therapy, you guys may know a little bit about it. It basically helps. It's got EDTA. It helps to chelate heavy metals and toxins out of the body. Very good if you've had vaccines that you're trying to clean out from. It's very good if you've got any type of plaquing in the arteries. It's the oral version. They're also an injectable version that we do not carry, but some doctors offer. It's very good. It's not as good as the injectable, as you know. The injectable, though, is much more money, and you have to have it injected intravenously. This is a very gentle form. It's done orally. Works very, very good. Usually needs to be done on 90-day spurts, so I usually recommend people buying a 3-month supply of it. When they buy it, we've seen that to be the most effective in blood tests. So that's on sale right now on Product of the Week. Other than that, though, the everything else, we still have our kits, our basic healthy lifestyle kits. They're all on our website at healthmasters.com. You guys can check them out whenever you want. Email us, call us, healthmasters.com. And, guys, what I said before, make sure you have some extra cash on hand. I'm not saying you need to have, you know, $1 million on the wall. You know, I get that. I mean, nobody, I don't know anybody that's done that. But, you know, I've heard about it sometimes on TV. But, you know, having some cash stored aside, having some Silver Eagles stashed aside, having some backup food, having some backup water and water filtration, those are all really, really, really important self-sufficient things you guys need to have on tap at all times that you just don't use or you rotate out regularly with the water and the food. And guys, having just something basic like that, that's why I tell people, at least have a minimum of 30 days of food for your family on tap at all the time, all the time. I know one of our food buckets, the way I've done the math on it for my caloric intake, one of our 275 food buckets will last me eating very comfortably about 21 days, 3 weeks. So two food buckets would be about a month and a half supply for me. That's pretty good in my opinion for what I think we need and the family needs. But guys, if you need anything, like I said, give us a call, email us, healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.